Ayanam namas kritya naram cheva nirottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jaya mudirayat Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Is that camera, is it centered? It looks up on the screen, looks like it's off to the side. Centered?
Yeah.
Okay. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 9, Chapter entitled The Appearance of the Demon, Vritrasura, text number 46 onwards. Shri Shuka Uvacha
Shri Shuka Uvacha
Atayevam Idito Rajan
Atayevam Idito Rajan
Sadaram Tridashair Hari
Sadaram Tridashair Hari
Swamupasthanam Akanya
Swamupasthanam Akanya
Prahatan Abhinandita
Prahatan Abhinandita
Atayevam idito rajan
Atayevam idito rajan
Sadaram tridashair hari
Sadaram tridashair hari
Swamupasthanam akanya
Swamupasthanam akanya
Rahatan abhinandita
Rahatan abhinandita
Atayevam idito rajan
Atayevam idito rajan
Sadaram tridashair hari
Sadaram tridashair hari
Swamupasthanam akanya
Swamupasthanam akanya
Rahatan abhinandita
Rahatan abhinandita
Shri Shuka Uvacha
Shri Shuka Uvacha
Shri Shukadeva Goswami said, Atta, thereafter. Evam, in this way. Idita, being worshipped and offered obeisances. Rajan, O King. Sa'adaram, with proper respect.
Tridashai,
by all the demigods, from the higher planetary systems. Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Swamupasthanam,
their prayer glorifying him. Akarnya, hearing. Praha, replied. Tan, unto them, the demigods. Abhinandita, being pleased. Translation of Prabhupada, Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Sri Prabhupada. Sri Shukadeva Goswami continued, O King Pariksit, when the demigods offered the Lord their sincere praise in this way, the Lord listened by his causeless mercy. Being pleased, he then replied to the demigods. Text 47. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
It's okay. Krito hamba sura shreshta madhu pasta na vidyaya amaishwarya smriti pumsam bhaktischaiva yayamai. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O beloved demigods, you have offered your prayers to me with great knowledge, and I am certainly most pleased with you. A person is liberated by such knowledge, and thus he remembers my exalted position, which is above the conditions of material life. Such a devotee is fully purified by offering prayers in full knowledge. This is the source of devotional service to me. Another name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Uttama Shloka, which means that he has offered prayers with selected verses. Bhakti means Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, chanting and hearing about Lord Vishnu. Impersonalists cannot be purified, for they do not offer personal prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even though they sometimes offer prayers, the prayers are not directed toward the Supreme Person. Impersonalists sometimes show their incomplete knowledge by addressing the Lord as being nameless. They always offer prayers indirectly, saying, "You are this, you are that," but they do not know to whom they are praying. A devotee, however, always offers personal prayers. A devotee says, "Govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Govinda, unto Krishna." This is the way to offer prayers. If one continues to offer such personal prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is eligible to become a pure devotee and return home back to Godhead. Omagyan Timidandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Dutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Swapatantikam Vancha Kalpata Rubyascha Kripa Sindubi Eva Cha Petitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Nama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, this is a nice chapter of the Bhagavatam, the appearance of the demon Vritrasura. So here we're hearing about pure devotional service. The Bhagavatam speaks about pure devotional service, Amala Bhakti, or Uttama Bhakti, or Kevala Bhakti, or Shuddha Bhakti. This means pure devotional service. There are many Shastras, there are many scriptures. And actually, the Vyasadeva, he was given the task to compile the Vedas. So he compiled all the Vedas, which means what we call the Smriti and the Shruti, which means there was 108 Upanishads, which he... no talking. I can't concentrate when people are talking. Is that okay? Okay. So 108 Upanishads, which is the philosophical part of the Vedas. And then there are the Itihasas and the Puranas, which are part of the Smriti. So that part of the Vedas means there are 18 Puranas, major Puranas. There are 18 minor Puranas. There's Mahabharata, there's Ramayana, right? There's Ayurveda, there is Dhanurveda. There's a lot of Vedic scripture. Karmakanda, Jnanakanda, Upasanakanda, right? All these different... So he compiled everything. So that's a lot of work. And who was helping him?
Ganesh.
Ganesh has how many arms? Four arms. Right? Because he was riding. And when he got tired, then swap over. So he could just ride and ride and ride. And Vyasadeva could speak, and he was just writing everything. Scribe. He was the scribe. So he wrote all of the Vedic literatures. So it's a lot of work. Days and days and days, maybe weeks, maybe months, maybe years, of writing and writing. And then, at the end of the whole thing, Vyasadeva felt dissatisfied, which is significant. Imagine you do all of this work for the benefit of humanity. Right? How do we feel satisfied in life? Right? You feel satisfied when you're serving others. Right? And that's the problem with the modern world. Everyone's trying to serve themselves and they've all got mental health problems. Right? You see, there's like a mental health pandemic all over the world. That's basically because people are too into themselves. Oh, this happened to me when I was 7, and this happened to me when I was 18, and this happened to me when I was 23. That's true. All those things are significant. We don't discredit those things or diminish those things. But how are you going to overcome them if you just concentrate on yourself. Right? Oh, this happened to me and that happened to me and I can't do this because this happened to me and that. Everyone's very self-indulgent in Kali Yuga. And that's why everyone has mental health problems. Now, Vyasadeva is teaching us, don't worry about yourself so much. Right? You'll forget about your problems, or your problems will become diminished, or they'll become in perspective when you serve others. Right? Other people are suffering right now. Right? Krishna consciousness is spreading more than ever right now. Why? Because people are suffering. Right? When people are suffering, it's a good time to spread Krishna consciousness. And the world's just going to get more and more intense in the next decade. Mark my words. It's not me saying it. This is what everyone's predicting. It's going to become more intense. No, things aren't going to become easier and more livable. The world is going to become more difficult. So what does this mean for us? It means a good time to spread Krishna consciousness. This is the perfect time. Now, because people will listen at the moment. Just like on the weekend, we had our Sunday feast. Once a month we have a Sunday feast at the farm. So we had about 25 guests. They came. And most of them were Western people. And they're very sincere, asking very good questions. I don't lecture at the farm on Sunday. I don't give a lecture. I just say, any questions or comments? And I speak for 10 minutes or something. And I say, what do they want to know? And they're asking very sincere questions. Why? Because they're suffering. Right? So when people are suffering, they're much more, they have much more impetus to inquire about the philosophy and to learn about the philosophy. So that means it's a very good time. So Vyasadeva is teaching us that this is the way to spread Krishna consciousness. This is the way to become Krishna conscious. You worry about elevating other personalities and then your problems become minuscule or they become in perspective. We all have problems. You know, we all had things that happened to us when we were seven and, you know, I had something happen to me the day before I was born. You know, all these things are kept in our subtle body. You know, like you have some scar, it means, you know, when you go through traumas in life, it gets kept in your subtle body. Right? And that's why later on in life, you know, you have this problem, you have that problem. So, you know, the day before I was born, even before I came out of the womb, there was a problem. So I've got that in my subtle body to deal with. So what do? I spend my whole life saying, well, you know, now I have to deal with that day before I was born? You know, like, no. I just go out and try to spread Krishna consciousness to others. And then, okay, the day before I was born, something happened. Okay, that happened. It comes into perspective. You understand the point? So Vyasadeva is teaching us, become more concerned about the conditioned souls and their suffering. This is called paradukha dukhi. We're more worried about what other people are going through than what we are going through. Right? Prabhupada was like that. You know, Srila Prabhupada was on his deathbed, you know, in 1977, near the very end. And he heard that Brahman Andaprabhu was sick. And Prabhupada's laying there. Prabhupada's emaciated. Like, Prabhupada was in a very fragile condition, materially speaking. And then he said he woke up. Prabhupada was resting a lot. You know, his body was very weak. Prabhupada woke up and someone was leading Kirtan. Prabhupada said, okay? Who? Who? And they said, Brahmananda, not Prabhupada. Brahmananda was leading Kirtan for Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, Brahmananda, are you okay? I heard you were sick. This is Prabhupada. Prabhupada's like, you know, his body's completely weak. Prabhupada said, I heard you were sick. Because Brahmananda caught some cold or something. This is Prabhupada. Right? Always thinking about the suffering of the conditioned souls. Not worrying so much about himself. This is the way an elevated devotee thinks. So Vyasadeva is thinking like that. The conditioned souls, they are suffering. Let me write all the Vedas. Right? But then, after he does it all, he feels despondent. He feels like, I don't feel satisfied. I don't feel complete. Something is wrong. Right? So what is that? Right. So then Narada comes, this is all in Canto 1, chapter 4, 5 and 6 of Canto 1, describes this pastime of how Bhagavatam manifests. So he comes and he says, why do you feel despondent? Yeah? The face is the index of the mind. When we look at your face, we know what's going on in your mind. I can only see half your face, so I'm only half sure what's going on. But I can see your eyes. The eyes are the gateway to the soul. So I can see. You're happy, you're blissful, you just return from brunch. Very peaceful. I can detect that. So he looks at his face and he thinks, he is not happy, he's not satisfied. He said, why is that? That's what the guru does. The guru looks at your face and says, or the advanced devotee, they look at your face and say, well, you're not feeling satisfied. Why is that? Could it be? And then they give you the reason, because they're very elevated in consciousness. Could it be that you did not exclusively glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Uttama Shloka? Did you not exclusively? It means that when he wrote the Bhagavad, because he wrote the Bhagavatam, the Bhagavatam is one of the 18 Puranas, the Bhagavad Purana. He wrote it the first time, but it wasn't complete. It wasn't an Amala Purana. In other words, pure devotional service was not exclusively spoken of. In other words, the Bhagavatam, the first time he wrote it, it was still tinged by the modes of nature, as the other Puranas are said to be. Right? Six in goodness, six in passion, six in rajas. But Bhagavatam is not in those modes. Right? It is completely spotless. So he says, could it be you do not exclusively? So then now he has to write it again. So then, pure devotional service is the only thing that will satisfy the soul. You have to do devotional service to Krishna, but without any motivation. You don't want anything except to serve Krishna, to make him happy. That is pure devotional service. Sometimes, many of us, if you look at yourself honestly, then you'll see that it's not just to satisfy Guru and Krishna and Vaishnavas. It's not always like that. Sometimes there's some other motivation. There's so many anattas in the heart, so many other reasons that motivate us to do the service. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, of all the anattas, because the Bhakti Lata bij, the Bhakti Lata grows. So as the devotional creeper grows, it explains, Chaitanya Charitamrita analyzes this very nicely. Other weeds, they grow along with the creeper. And sometimes you think the weeds are the creeper. And sometimes we think that as conditioned souls. So all these weeds, they grow. But which weed is the strongest, the hardest to pull out, and which looks the most like the creeper? Which one? Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. That's not one of the specific analogies. But yeah, you can say like false ego, but yeah, something specific within the false ego.
Pratishtha.
Yeah, it is called Pratishtha. Pratishtha. All the weeds are there. So many weeds are there. Big problem. In the garden, there's a big problem. Right? If you're growing anything, you know there's a lot of weeds that compete. But this weed is very challenging. It's called Pratishtha. What is Pratishtha? Yeah, it means the desire for recognition. Oh, did someone see me do it? I did the service, but did someone see me do the service? Does everyone know I did the service? And everyone thinks, he is doing the service, and he does it so nicely. He is very special, more special than the others, actually. You can be offering aarti to the deities, but then while you're offering the aarti, you should be meditating on Krishna. Is Krishna satisfied? Am I serving Krishna through this aarti? Aarti is a whole meditation when you offer aarti, actually. Right? But you might be thinking, I'm offering it. My little finger is out, which is very special, very important. And then everyone notices that I am doing the aarti and how nicely I make the circles and do the waves and all these things. Sometimes we think like that. You're doing the aarti, but you're thinking like this. Or everyone must be thinking. He does it very nicely. That is Pratishtha. You want recognition for your service. You want everyone to recognize you. Oh, this devotee is special. He did it. All all of us need encouragement in devotional service. What's the main thing we need in our devotional service in our life, right? From our superiors. We need recognition. We need acknowledgement. Right? If you work for a company, right, many of you have worked, you know, in the world, or you're working in the world, what's the main thing you want from your boss or your superiors? Right? When they survey people, it's not the money. The money is there, and that motivates people strongly, but it's not the main thing. Because you can get good money, but if you don't get recognition or acknowledgement, or if someone is saying you did a good job, some praise, right, from your superiors, you don't feel satisfied. That's what people want more than anything else. And that's what creates a good culture. So it's natural. We want that. But we can't become attached to it. Because sometimes it's there and sometimes it's not there. Right? Sometimes we get it, but sometimes we don't get it. It doesn't come all the time. And Krishna will test us, actually. Right? Sometimes Krishna will give it to us. But then other times, he will hold it back. Or sometimes, I don't know if it's ever happened to you, you can put your hand up over there, did Krishna embarrass you in front of the whole devotional community? Has he ever done that to you? Anyone? Yeah? A couple of devotees are saying? Okay. Sometimes it happens. Or maybe not the whole community, but you know, enough. Yeah. Everyone who knows you, or, you know, it happens sometimes. Right? Suddenly everyone's looking at you thinking, you know, why did you do that? Why are you acting like that? What, you know, we get criticized. We don't like that. We have to be... Yeah. Just go a little bit more on the side.
Sorry.
Yeah, back should not be the deepest. That's okay. Just a little bit more. That's
good.
That's good, yeah. Yeah, Prabhupada used to... if you see the video where Prabhupada is sitting there, if you see the video and Prabhupada gives class, and Prabhupada is sitting there, everyone sits like this, sideways, like this, while he's giving class. Because Prabhupada said, where you're sitting, he said, don't put your back to Krishna. Right? So don't put your back to Krishna, and put your back to Prabhupada. That's why we offer obeisances this way. Yeah, you don't want your feet going there or there. That's aparad. That's why we do like that. And also, just be conscientious. Just a little.
Thank you, Prabhu. It's just that we're so used to seeing everyone else do it, getting to the habit.
Yeah. Kaurma Prabhu used to pick everyone up on this because he was there when Prabhupada did it. So he used to always say the devotees don't do it. But now, you know, things get lost over time. We have to keep the parampara connected. It is a duty of all of us to hold the parampara. Because Prabhupada, he himself did it. He said, everyone like this, like that. You see in the class, everyone's like looking at Prabhupada like this. It's important. That's why we have the class here. So devotees can, you know, it's easy. You can see Prabhupada busy. So, sometimes this happens. You know, Krishna takes away all of your reputation even. That's a test from Krishna. Because sometimes we like to be recognized. But Krishna says, oh, will you still serve me when everyone is looking down on you? Or will you still serve me when I embarrass you or I take away your pride? Will you still serve me? This is important to understand. Because sometimes we'll do the service, but only when everyone recognizes us, and only when everyone says nice things about us. You know, as long as everyone is glorifying us. Right? When we're getting glorified and recognized, we say, okay, I will do the service. But when everyone says, oh, wait a minute, there's some problems there, then maybe we become despondent. That's not pure devotional service. So it should not be based on pratishtha. No? Pratishtha is very hard to give up, the desire for recognition in devotional service. We all have it. Right, it's in all of our hearts. Right, it's in my heart. I see sometimes, you know, someone recognizes me, and I think, oh, that's nice. And I like that, and we do. It's natural to like that, but don't become attached to it. Don't let it motivate you, and don't let it be the main driving force in your bhakti. You know, don't serve Krishna only when you're getting recognized. That has to be. The good thing about ISKCON is that you usually get criticized quite a lot anyway. Is it? Is that true? Yeah, I think it's true. We usually get criticized. You don't have to worry so much in this con. Usually once in a while, everyone says, oh, you're a nonsense. So. So it doesn't matter. Everyone humbles you anyway. That's why we have to associate with the Vaishnava, Sadhu Sangha. You see, some devotees, they go away from the devotees. Why? Because when you're with the devotees, it's actually somewhat intense. You know, when you're with the devotees, it purifies you. Your ego gets purified. And sometimes we don't like that, so we keep away from the devotees. Which, it may not be so good. It might be better being with the devotees. You know, getting purified in the fire of devotional service. Getting your ego smashed. And what's the best way to smash someone's ego? The best way to smash someone's ego is to ignore them. That's even worse. My guru did that to me one day. He came to Melbourne. I hadn't seen him for 6 months or 12 months. He came. And I think he was there for a week. For about 5 days, he did not talk to me. Just completely ignored me. Just to bring my ego down. You know, first 2 days, I'm serving him. I'm thinking, oh, it's all going well. I'm the best servant. You know, I serve him. No one serves him as well as me. And then after the next 5 days, did not speak to me. And then just brought my ego down. Right? And then as he left, then one time when he left, he grabbed me by the arm and he said, don't feel bad if I get on your case. He said, don't feel bad. Because he's purifying. That's what the guru does. That's what the advanced devotees do. They purify us. So that is the system. So we should not let pratishtha govern our devotional service or wrap up our devotional service or strangle our devotional service. Because it has to be removed. So many material desires, they have to be removed over time. One time I was chanting at Radhakund at the Bhajan Kutir of Raghunath Das Goswami. It's one of my favorite places to chant. Have you been there? Yeah, very powerful place. Yeah. I chant my japa there a lot. You know, if I'm near Radhakund, very, so powerful. Manasapavangat. It's a very powerful place. So I'm chanting my japa there. And I'm the only one there. So I'm chanting and Raghunath Das Goswami in front of his father and I'm trying to pray for his mercy and chant my japa nicely. And then one, it's like Bengali widow, you know, they wear white. You know, many of them live at Radhakund. So she came, and then she offered obeisances to the Bhajan Kutir, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, and then she went to Raghunath Das Goswami. And then she saw the picture of Raghunath Das. There was a pastime there where he was chanting, and then two tigers came. And he was chanting so deeply, he didn't notice there were tigers next to him, drinking from Radhakund. This is back 500 years ago, 400 years ago. It's not like that now, Radhakund. You don't see tigers. But back then, the tigers. So he's chanting, and tigers are there, and Sanatana Goswami was on the other side of Radhakund. And he looked across, and he was concerned. You know, imagine one of the devotees is chanting, you know, Hare Krishna, and there's a tiger right here, like, you know, drinking the water. Right? And Sanatana Goswami, he looked. And then he looked behind Raghunath Das, Krishna is standing there. Krishna is watching, protecting Raghunath. Krishna is standing. And he looks at Sanatana Goswami and he smiles and disappears. And the tiger goes away. And then Sanatana Goswami comes around and he says to Raghunath Das, he says, build yourself a kutia, a hut. You know, you've got tigers coming. You might get eaten. You know, and you're making Krishna serve you. Don't take service from Krishna. Right? And he said, okay, I will build a kutia, I will build something. But he was so absorbed in his chanting, he didn't do it. He just kept chanting. Right? Okay, devotees get absorbed. So then, sometime later, he was chanting and it was hot. It gets very hot in Vrindavan. Like now, if you go to Vrindavan now, 40 degrees. How hot was it there?
It was getting hot.
Yeah, getting like up. Gets really hot. So like, you know, the other day is like 40 plus. So he's chanting and he's so absorbed that sun is burning him and he's perspiring. But he doesn't even know. He's just chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. So Radharani comes and Radharani puts her veil over him to protect him from the sun. But then now she is perspiring because she has to stand there. And then Sanatana Goswami looks and she smiles and then disappears. And then he runs around the kund and he says, you nonsense. He said, now Radharani is serving you. Don't do this. Build yourself a kutia. Don't give her difficulty. And then he said, oh, if Radharani is serving me, then I would build the kutia. He stopped everything, built the kutia. You know, not accept service from Radharani. So I'm chanting there at Radhakund and this picture is there.
And if you look in the Kuti, they had this picture of these two pastimes, very powerful pastimes. So this Bengali Mataji, she comes and she looks into the Kutia, and as soon as she sees the pictures, tears just come down her face because she has bhava, or maybe prema. She's on very high level of bhakti, much higher than me. Right? So as soon as you see Krishna, and she turns around, I'm the only one there, she looks at me and she, you know, with tears coming down her face, she says, just look. She's speaking Bengali, I don't understand what she's saying. But she's telling me, she said, just look at the mercy that Radha and Krishna are giving to Raghunath Das. Right? And that's so much moving her, she's crying. Right? But there was no pratishtha. She wasn't doing it to impress me. It was completely full of bhava. It was completely natural. Right? That is Krishna consciousness. Right? But when we do it, you know, sometimes we're chanting, if you go, I am the best chanter. Nobody chants like me. Everyone must be saying that I chant so nicely. You know, we get all sorts of crazy things going in mind. You know, if we actually, Radha Charanpuru was giving a class one time, he said, you know, everyone chants japa in the morning, all the men. He said, we put a big screen up above Prabhupada and connect everyone's brains to it, you know, what actually goes through our minds while we're chanting. It'd be like some comedy show or something. You know, if we're all looking up there and say, my God, is that what you think? While you're chanting? You know, we think all sorts of things. The mind goes all over the place. So, the point is that Vyasadeva wrote all the Vedas, but then he had to do it again. To just bring pure devotional service to the forefront. That's what the Bhagavad Gita is teaching us. So we have to learn to give up all these other motivations in devotional service. Right? Our devotional service is motivated by so many other things. Sometimes material enjoyment. Just like I heard that in certain places in India, some of our temples, people join just because the standard of living is better than living outside. You know, join the Brahmacharya ashram. It's true. It happens. Right? It's not really true here in this ashram. So much. That's not really the motivation. We have to worry about other things. You know, maybe too much opulence, too much sense gratification. Melbourne Mahaprasad Mandir. Hands up, I've been hungry since you got here. I've been devotee for over 30 years. I'm never hungry once. Except if I make myself hungry. But otherwise, you know, like, you know, this Saturday is Nirjan, Ekadashi. Yeah, so I'm not going to eat or drink water for, you know, the whole day. You know, once a year, it's not such a big deal. You know, so I'll be hungry by the end of the day, but, you know, it doesn't exist in ISKCON. You know, hunger does not exist, at least in this temple. You know, devotees, we don't know what hunger means. Right? We just complain if we don't get enough avocado on toast. That is our tapasya. Yeah. How can we go through so much austerity? We're doing so much seva for Krishna. I can't even get some avocado on my toast. I just have to have just butter. This is my tapasya. They should put that on ISKCON news. You know, devotee, the brahmacharis here in Melbourne doing so much tapasya they don't even get an avocado on the toast. An intense suffering, actually. Intense tapasya. But this is what we, in Kali Yuga, that's actually our problem. So, the point is devotional service should be pure, amala, shuddha, kevala, uttama bhakti. This is what the Bhagavatam is speaking about, this pure type of devotional service. So here, the demigods, they're praying to the Lord. And now the Lord, this is him himself speaking. This is the beautiful thing about the Bhagavatam. God himself is speaking. Chaitanya Charitamrita is even more wonderful, in a sense. Because in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami says, I'll tell you what goes on in his mind. what he thinks. It's incredible. He says Krishna was thinking, and then he writes what Krishna was thinking. This is amazing. We're going inside God's mind. Right? Here we're hearing his direct words. This is Krishna himself speaking. The demigods are praying to him. And now how does he respond? So he says, O beloved demigods. A very beautiful way to speak. O beloved demigods. Full of preeti. Full of love. For the devatas. This out, you know, like Sachinandan Swami. He always says, when you hear him lecture, my dear devotees. Such a beautiful way to speak. This is how Krishna speaks. My dear devotees. The way he speaks, the very captivating way of speaking. That's the way Krishna speaks. My dear devotees. So he says it. My beloved demigods, you have offered your prayers to me with great knowledge. So what is being emphasized here is we have to cultivate knowledge. Right? How do you fall in love with someone? Right? In this world, everyone's absorbed in calm. Calm means material lust. It means, you know, it's not prema, it's not love. But how do you fall in love with someone in this world? You know, particularly between men and women, like when they fall in love. You have to know about the person. Right? The more you know about the person, the more you become attracted to them. You know, if a boy is interested in the girl or a girl is interested in the boy, they always want to know, you know, they're asking, oh, what do they do? What are they like? And the more you know about them, the more you become captivated by the person. And then once you're captivated, you get married. And after 10 years of marriage, you wish that you'd never married. But that's a different story. But what I'm saying is that you understand what I'm saying. Rupa Goswami says, I want my mind to be attracted to Krishna just like the mind of a young boy is attracted to a young girl, or a young girl is attracted. Like, we all know what it means. Right? We've experienced this in the material world. You become obsessed with the person. We should become obsessed with Krishna. That's why it says here, we have to cultivate knowledge, the Lord is saying. That's why Prabhupada said, you have to study the Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhav, Bhakti Vedanta, and the Bhakti Sarvabhauma courses. Right? And we're fortunate in Melbourne. We have one of the best educational systems in the entire of ISKCON. Right? There are 650 temples around the world in ISKCON. How many of them have Bhakti Shastri courses? No, I think it's less than 10%. Less than 60. How many have Bhakti Vaibhav courses? I think it's only less than 3%, something like that. How many have Bhakti Vedanta, Bhakti Sarvabhauma? Less than 1%, I think. Right? It's very rare. This is a very good situation. Right? Why is it like that? Because devotees should study. Why do we study? So we know Krishna. You should know everything about Krishna. Someone says to you, okay, we'll see now. What color are Krishna's eyes? Everyone should know. What color are Krishna's eyes? No, the middle part's black. Yeah, just like in your eyes, the middle part's black. Right? The pupil, but the iris, like the part around the colored part. We all have a coloured part. Like, what colour is that?
Brown.
Brown. Yeah, like a dark brown. Yeah, like dark brown. Very beautiful. Very dark brown. And then, Srimati Radharani, what colour are her eyes?
Blue.
Yeah, dark blue. Dark blue. Very beautiful. If you go to India, and especially it seems to me the Gujarati people, sometimes you see the women, very beautiful sometimes, some very beautiful girls, Gujarati women. But then, 90% at least of the Indian people have brown eyes. You look at Indian people, nearly always brown eyes. But occasionally you get like a green or a blue in the girls. It's so beautiful. Right? It's captivating. Right? So Radharani is like that. Right, dark blue. Right? Most beautiful girl, but then dark blue eyes are captivating. So we should know all these things about Krishna. We should know the details. What are the shape of Krishna's eyes? What's it?
Almond.
Yep. Yeah. Or we could say in the Shastra, how does it say? What's that? Very good, lotus petal. What does a lotus petal look like? Yeah, I mean, they're here. You've got lotus petals here. Yeah, Krishna's eyes are like that, like very beautiful, really beautiful shape. And what color, you know, the white part of the eyes? What color are the white part of Krishna's eyes?
Pinkish.
Pinkish. Why are they pinkish?
It's always
yellow. Because everyone in the spiritual world, their eyes are moist all of the time. When you love someone, when you haven't seen someone for a long time, and you see them again, your eyes become moist. Right? In the spiritual world, it's like that all the time with everyone. Right? Because everyone has so much love for each other, they're just always moist. So when your eyes are moist, or that you see the white part becomes pinkish. So Krishna is pinkish all the time because he has so much love. So many devotees serving him with love that he just feels so grateful that he's just pinkish eyes all the time. That is Krishna. So dark brown, beautiful long, and then the pinkish on that. This is Krishna. We should know all these things. Right? There's so many details and details and details about Radha and Krishna. So we should understand this. Then this knowledge, it increases your love for the person. Nama, Rupa, Guna, Lila, Dham. We should know all these, the details of all these things. Where does Krishna live? What does he do? What is he doing right now? If it's now, it's about 8:30. So if it's 8:30 in the spiritual world, what's Krishna doing right now in the Ashtakaliya Lila? He's just about to go out into the forest. In about 5 minutes, he goes out to herd the cows. So he just finishes breakfast. He's just finished breakfast in Nandagram. Good breakfast. Now, you would not believe the breakfast. If I told you what's on the bread, you would not believe it. How many courses? Hundreds. Yeah. If you like, hands up, you like prasad. Oh, God. So, if you like prasad, go to the spiritual world. It's a different level. You know, breakfast, and you don't have to worry about putting on weight. You don't have to worry about falling asleep after breakfast. You just have as much as you want, and you're full of energy again. I want to go there just for this one reason. I can take too much prasad. Then I will be happy for the rest of eternity. So they take prasad, and then, just after prasadam, he's about to take the cows out, but the gopis, they organize a very quick rendezvous with Radha Rama. Sometimes at Brindakum, which is one of the three yoga pits of Radha and Krishna's pastimes. So right now, they're probably just getting ready to leave. They've either just been to Brindakum, then he's come back to Nandagram, and he's just leaving to take the cows out. We need to know all of these details about Krishna. Because Prabhupada says here, we need to have bhakti means shravana, kirtana, Vishnu, smarana. Right? How do you get smarana? By hearing and chanting about Krishna. That's the goal. Always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. How can you remember him if you don't know anything about him? How can you remember someone if you don't know anything about them? No, you have to know everything about Krishna. There should be so much Krishna in there that whenever someone touches, it just Krishna comes out. That should be the consciousness of all the devotees. So here it is saying, Krishna is saying to the demigods, you have knowledge of me. This is very good. All of us should have knowledge of Krishna. We should become learned. Prabhupada said, this title, Bhakti Vedanta, that was Prabhupada's title. A.C. Bhakti Vedanta. He said that should be the title of all of my disciples and followers. We should all, that should be the family title. Which means we should get that level of study. I mean, studying the whole Bhagavatam very carefully. So we'll stop here. We'll see if there's any questions or comments. if they don't tell us, that makes it hard. You know, if someone doesn't tell us they're feeling sick, then it's hard to do it. So generally, we should just be compassionate to everyone as much as we can. But if you find out that one of the devotees is sick or they have some problem, then you should say, you know, can I serve? Can I help you? Can I do something for you? Okay. Is that okay? Yeah. Just try to serve the devotee. If you find out someone is not the only one, then you should do something to help the devotees. Krishna appreciates this. Krishna appreciates this. It's the best. Melbourne community, actually, it's one of the best communities on the planet in ISKCON. It's one of the best communities because the devotees look after each other so nicely. Right? It's very, very well developed. Burujan Prabhu, is just about to come this weekend. He's doing a nice retreat with Jagatari Mandi. He said to me one time, Chowpatty and Melbourne, he said they're the two best devotional communities I've seen in terms of the quality of the devotees. And it's very special, actually, in Melbourne. Any other question? Good question.
You were saying about the trauma and the stuff that we would carry for different things that may happen, but this is just go and do service. But to be aware, at some point, like, things need to be addressed and like they might interfere in our devotional life. And mm-hmm. like, what would be the best way to also address that?
To what? To understand we have petitioner role?
Yeah, with the trauma.
To deal with the traumas. Yeah, I mean, these days in Kali Yuga, nearly everyone is damaged. Nearly, almost everyone. So, you know, if I actually told you what happened in my life before I became a devotee, you would be shocked by the traumas I've been through. Right? And same for everyone. Like, if I ask everyone here, what you've been through, everyone will tell me, wow, you've been through that, you've been through so many different things. So it does affect us, it does have traumas. So sometimes we have to see people who are professionals in their fields, like psychologists, psychiatrists, counselors, those things. Sometimes we have to address those. Or you can just talk to devotees. If you have a good devotee friend, you can speak to them and they can also help. So sometimes dealing with the chanting the holy name is enough to purify everything. But the problem is, many of us are not on the level that we can chant to the degree that it will purify everything. So we may need some help. We may need to see some counselors or something to help. Okay. So I know devotees are doing that now. That's some very good friends of mine. So if you know if you need to do that, that's okay. But keep chanting. Don't stop chanting, because the chanting is the main thing. Prabhupada said, chant and be happy. Is it okay? Yeah. Do both. What do you need to do? But don't become too self-indulgent. Sometimes people, this happened. Yeah, it happened to all of us. It happened to all of us. Right? So many, everyone went through things. Right? Focus on Krishna. That's okay. And deal with those things, but focus on it. Don't get too caught up in it. It's actually a trick of mind to get too caught up in it. Address it, but don't get overly. Is it okay? Okay. Please come again. Any other questions? Go on. Yeah.
Two questions.
Yes.
As psychologists speak of the ego and the false ego.
Yeah.
Isn't it the false ego that needs to be smashed?
Yeah.
And isn't it healthy to have a sincere, strong ego, like Bill Keshava and Nam Tim, and the false ego is the one that needs to be smashed when we start. Can you comment on that?
Yeah, you're right, the false ego is the one that needs to be smashed. Yeah. Tim and Keshava are also false, because that's not our swarup. When we go back to the spiritual world, you won't look like this.
No, but Keshava is a spiritual name.
It's a spiritual name, but this form you're seeing here is temporary. What I actually look like in the spiritual world is different to this. Mm-hmm. One time Prabhupada said, if you saw me, he said to Brahmananda Prabhu, he said, if you saw me, you would faint. what Prabhupada actually looks like in Krishna's pastimes in the spiritual world. So even this has to be given up. This is good because we're using this in Krishna's service, but we're using this in Krishna's service and eventually it will be burnt away and you'll come with your original Swarupa, your original form. So yeah, whatever you've got, use it in Krishna's service. Whatever you're good at, do that for Krishna, and gradually that will become purified as well. Good question.
The second question is, I made a mistake of putting that back to the devotees. When the Prabhu is chanting in the morning, a lot of them walk around chanting, so they've got their backs to the deities. Is that incorrect as well?
Walk around chanting?
Well, they walk around in a circle, so then they've got their backs.
Yeah, but the doors are shut.
Yeah.
So it's okay.
But the deities are still alive.
Yeah, if the doors are shut, you can even sit with your back to them, because the doors are shut. There's no offence.
Yes.
But if the door's open, right? It's like if you're sitting at someone's front door at their house, and you're sitting there waiting for them, and you've got your back to the door, there's no offence. But if they open the door, and you don't turn around, that's offensive. Yeah, so it's the same with Krishna.
Thank you.
Good question.
This is a mention of offering personal praise. Does it mean that I should be aware of the personality of the Lord and offer praise, or does it also mean personalized praise, like issue that I have and I pray? Does that mean both? Or?
I mean offering prayers, what type of prayers?
Yeah.
As opposed to like reciting prayers that have been written in the Shastra and repeating that. Or then offering some personal things.
So the Prabhupada talks about offering personal prayers.
Yeah.
So what exactly is Prabhupada referring to? Like acknowledging the Lord as a person and offering to the Lord, calling him Govinda and offering that prayers? Or does it include personal effort? Like, I have going through some issues and I pray to the Lord? Is
that both? Yeah, it's all encompassing. It means all of it. The whole thing. Like sometimes I come through before the deities and you know, we offer standard prayers. Why do we offer standard prayers? Like things written by Rupa Goswami or Raghunath Das or you know, the prayers that we memorize and recite. Because the reason we're offering those prayers, we're trying to understand the bhava or the emotion which they have in those prayers when they wrote them. And we're trying to offer those prayers in that mood. We don't have it yet, but we're trying to establish it or develop it. Like when we offer obeisances to Mahaprabhu, quite often we say, Namo Maha Vananyaya. But we just say it like a parrot, like repetitively. But when you actually meditate on the mood in that prayer, it's very deep. That's what we should. You know, tears should actually begin coming from the eyes when we recite these prayers. So then we offer those prayers, but then we also come before the deities and sometimes we pray for something specific for ourselves. You know, we say, you know, please help me. And then sometimes we may even have like a dialogue with the deities. You know, we say to Krishna, I'm going through this right now, this problem. But then when you speak like that to Krishna, you have to say, you can't say, Krishna, remove this problem or like that. You have to say, Krishna, if you like, maybe you can help me with this. Because he might say, no, I want you to keep going through this. So don't petition Krishna for something maybe he wants to do to you. When I was a kid, I used to go to Sunday school. Right? And I remember even now, they taught me this like 40 years ago or more. But I remember it even now. They said, whenever you pray to God, there will be three answers. Yes, no, or wait. Right, and even now when I come to the deities I always remember that, you know, if I say something, you know, Krishna, I'm going through this hard time, please help me, Krishna might give you three answers. Yes, I'll help you. No, I want you to keep going through it because it will purify you. Or wait, you know, another 50 years in the world. So it's up to Krishna. Don't try to force him. It doesn't work like that. Yeah, he knows better than us. So, is that okay? Any other questions? Okay. Shukra Prabhupada ki.